It's the Grandstand. We're back. Post Austin United States Grand Prix 2023. It's F Knowles. And I've got my boy P Money in the house. What's Gucci, up? Bro?
How's it going, man? Getting ready for two more races in 2 weeks. It's tight schedule.
It is, dude. It's going to be a pretty action-packed finish to the season.
Yeah, I think we need to finish the season quickly.
I think we're all kind of at that point. I think it's like, all right, just wrap this shit up, honestly. But we were in Austin this last weekend. Austin always seems to bring out some surprises and some excitement. And even with Max having already taken the championship in Red Bull and the constructors, we still had some good, fun action on track on Sunday. It was a sprint weekend, but the race itself gave us some great storylines going into the race.
Oh yes.
We had DR3 back. We had some drama in qualifying. We've had some penalties, and then we had some on track action that got very, very spicy. Or as Mike Tyson would say, spicy. I hope Mike Tyson doesn't find me.
Yeah, I hope so too, for your sake.
but yeah, man. You know, some interesting things. There was something very interesting that happened before the race last week. But before we get into that, let's roll the intro. I think so.
Roll it.
A question for all of you except Romain Grosjean.
To whom it may concern, fuck you.
More ladies in the paddock? Yeah, more paddock access to some women. There's too many dudes.
I don't really have a lot to comment on that, except that he was being a pussy.
You know, when it's your turn to host, it's interesting because you like to let the intro fade out, whereas I like the hard stop. I get more energized when it's the hard stop, personally.
Oh yeah, it's just the power of the switchboard. I feel like a fucking DJ.
Steve,
sometimes the intro, yeah, just kind of starts up on its own again. Never know.
Steve Aoki over here. I just realized that this morning I decided to grab a mug that said, "You can be a mom and still be a dumb bitch." I didn't. It was supposed to be a gift for a friend of ours. It's actually my girlfriend who gave me this mug this morning for my coffee, and just realizing that's how I'm going to go into this episode. So,
yeah, great. No, that's some good energy right there. Yeah,
I don't know if it's BDE, but it's something. I'll tell you what. But yeah, man. Anyway, you know, before we get into Austin, there was an interesting thing that the FIA did, and I'm going to get into the FIA later because I'm not a happy man. Ooh, with something that happened after the race that affected both of our teams, our favorite teams. But the FIA instituted a new maximum penalty for drivers of $1 million. I'm pretty sure every single driver was like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" Afterwards, K-Mag even said, "They're not going to be able to find me. I'm going to quit racing before they do that."
Honestly, there aren't many drivers on the grid that could afford that penalty, to be honest.
No.
I think a handful of the top drivers.
Max, Lewis, Lando, maybe Charles. But
yeah, Checo, Danny Rick. You know, Danny Rick is good for it. But like, what about a rookie, someone that has so much money to spend on trainers and everything? I think it was Alex Albon and George Russell that said that when you start off in F1, you're actually losing money.
Right.
Because the amount of people that you're getting on your staff and everything. So yeah, I understand they're trying to make a point, but also they need to be mindful of what drivers actually make.
It's absurd. I don't agree with it whatsoever. Like,
and also, what penalty warrants $1 million?
Yeah, what are you doing? Like, is it murder? I don't know.
I remember Vettel cursed out Charlie Whiting, and he didn't get anything. So, you got to go pretty hard to get $1 million.
I really want to know what penalty, what you have to do to incur $1 million fine.
Yeah, like Stroll had a little bit of a little hissy fit.
Dyslexic much?
Yeah, a little bit. When he threw his trainer and he didn't get anything, he got a reprimand. So you got to like knock someone out, I guess, to get that.
Absurd. It's an absurd penalty. Just absolutely
back to,
absurd.
Back to Mike Tyson. Be worth it.
Yeah, exactly. I think if anybody thinks that's some of the drivers are making millions of dollars, but I think in any sport to find just an individual, not a team, but an individual, $1 million, like the infraction has to be something that negatively impacts the sport in a way that it can't recoup the damages. And I don't know what anyone would ever do. I think
Lewis is like, if they're fining me that, it better go to a cause.
Yeah, he did say that. He's like, if I'm going to get fined $1 million, it better not go in the pockets of the FIA, and it better go to a cause that we all agree on. But I don't think that it's just ridiculous. We're back at Austin. Some upgrades for a few teams this weekend that I think a lot of people thought, specifically for Aston, Haas. And then we saw Mercedes, but Aston Martin and Haas, we kind of expected some things from them. What's your takeaway?
I think Haas was their biggest update package of the year here, and they did pretty well on Friday. It seems like it was mostly down to lower fuel, so we got super excited really quickly, but realized then in qualifying and then the sprint on Saturday that didn't really make up that much. And Aston. We don't know yet, but they reverted back to their old spec for the race, and both teams started with the old aero package because they were nowhere. They actually went backwards, so not so good for those two. But for Merck, it seems like their new floor is a good foundation for 2024. Definitely going the right direction. So Knowles, you should be pretty excited if they can up the development pace, because then we might have some. Hopefully closer racing.
I was very encouraged by what I saw from Mercedes, particularly from Lewis. And, you know, we'll get into that. But, this weekend at Austin, we saw some pretty bumpy conditions. I mean, to the extent it was like, are we dealing with the porpoising again? What's happening? A lot of drivers were commenting on it. And after the race, we're like, they've got to do something about the track surface for next year. And it seemed to affect quite a few different drivers this weekend.
It's just one of those tracks that with age, it becomes bumpier. So I don't know if they're going to resurface it or what for next year or just smoothen it out. But I think it was pretty good for the drivers too, because it gives it like a more old school vibe. And I like this track even more because of that. Like, it gives it more, I don't know, more of a personality.
I feel. More character. Interesting for me. I think... You know, you've referenced like the old school tracks, but you know, these days it does feel a little bit like if there's any sort of issue with track surface, you know, with curbs, the driver, like a lot of drivers will come out and say, oh, it's not smooth enough, you know, which to me, it's like, do you not remember the karting tracks and all that you grew up on? Or, you know, it reminds me maybe in other sports, like in soccer, you know, football, whatever you call it, you grow up playing on these bumpy pitches, these bumpy fields that have divots, that have holes, and you know, you adapt to it and you play through it. And I think, you know, as you get to a different level in professional sports, there's an expectation that, you know, there will be conditions that are consistent. But I actually think, particularly in Formula One, it's it's advantageous for both the fans and the teams because it gives you either an advantage or a disadvantage that you have to find.
Yeah, certain drivers could get an edge on their teammates like that, drive around it a bit, and certain and some of them might just completely bottle it because of it. There's a bump in Monaco that every year you'll see drivers drive around. If they smoothened that out, it wouldn't be the same track anymore for me. Because you go through the years, Senna did it, Schumi did it, they all did it because it's the fastest ways to go around it. It's right before the end of Sector 1. I think, let's see. But this track delivers. It's such a great track. I don't think the sprint delivered this year much. It was kind of a snooze fest.
The sprint was definitely boring, yeah. Not much for us to talk about there. I mean, Max won it.
Dominated it.
And we were kind of just, everybody, I think, was like, all right, we're going to go to Sunday.
Yeah. I will point out one thing about the sprint is that Russell this weekend was extremely far from Hamilton. He admits that this track, he calls it his bogey track, that he doesn't do well on this track particularly every year. And Lewis actually loves this track. It's one of his favorite tracks. He's won here 5 times. So the gap between those two drivers was huge this weekend. And Russell, he just couldn't get anything right. He impeded Leclerc in sprint qualifying. Then in the sprint, he got penalties, kept going back. It just looked like every time you saw a penalty, it looked like it was Russell. It was just sloppy. So that was the only thing that I kind of remembered from the sprint. Also that Gasly scored points in the sprint as well,
yep.
Which is nice.
Yeah, I mean, Max took first, Lewis P2. Who is in third? Charles
Leclerc.
Is in third, yeah. Lando P4, Checo P5, Carlos P6, yeah, Pierre Gasly P7, and George in P8. But yeah, enough about the sprint. I want to get to the race. I think.
Yeah, let's do it.
We're like, it's boring, but let's talk about it for 5 minutes.
I just wanted to throw that on Russell. That was my only.
But anyway, the race, we had an early incident between Esteban Ocon and Oscar Piastri that ultimately led to 2 DNFs for the both of them. And I rewatched this incident multiple times, and it's so nuanced to me because you could make the argument that Esteban didn't give him enough space or that Oscar turned in on him. And it wasn't very clear cut, which I also think is why we didn't see any penalties handed down from the race stewards,
which I tend to agree with for that one. It was a super hard one to judge. I missed it live. And then when you saw it, you realize how big of a hit was.
Huge.
It was, they both ended up retiring because of it.
I mean, so. They were also like, you got to give it to both of them for controlling the car, because in that situation, I mean, you could see a spin out, you could see a lot of different things happen. You know, one of them gets in front of the other one and then other cars are coming behind them. And Piastri, I mean, it sucks too, because Piastri, I mean, it sucks for Oscar in particular, because he had an incredible start. I mean, he made up 4 positions in lap one.
Yeah, also because he qualified really poorly. Yeah. So he had a lot of slower cars ahead. But yeah, I was super excited to see what he could do. And yeah, it's always a shame when two drivers that could actually spice things up in a race.
Yeah, I mean, early on like that, I think you kind of have to you have to boil it down to it being a racing incident. You know, they're racing hard. 100%. They've got traffic around them. The stewards made the right call not to, you know, hand out any penalties, because ultimately the two of them paid the you know, the biggest price, which is a DNF. So there wasn't a lot of controversy around it. Nobody was like, oh, well, Piastri did this or Ocon did that. It was just like, that's a tough one. You know, they both DNF'd, hard racing. And that's what it comes down to from my perspective.
Yeah, Piastri was his usual subdued, and Ocon was his usual kind of pissed off, because he always thinks it's
someone else's
other driver's fault. Yeah.
Yeah, it's always, it is kind of it's pretty standard with him.
We're used to it by now. Which is what you want. You want drivers to be pissed off like that. So
for sure.
Keep going.
But that had a pretty significant influence on the race, because I think Piastri, had he been able to finish the race, was on a hard charge. We definitely would have seen him up there competing for a podium for sure.
You think so?
I do. Yeah.
Podium from where he started? Ooh.
I mean, he was in P6 by the end of lap one.
We'll never know, I guess.
Okay. Well. No.
The reason why I say that, because he did struggle compared to Norris. He didn't have the same pace at all. That's why I'm kind of surprised. Like podium, top five potentially, but podium, I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll never know. I thought he was behind some slower cars, but regardless, he DNF'd. And Max started from P6 and ends up winning the race, gets his 50th win, which is, it's crazy to think about, man. Like, if 50. He's at 50 wins and the dude's in his mid-20s.
Yeah, I think in the interview, post-race interview, they were asking about it. How do you feel about it? It's like, oh, yeah, these are still rookie numbers compared to Lewis, which is, I was like, oh, it's nice to see them. They're getting along these days, those two. Yeah, if you think about how much time he's got left, potentially, it's fucking scary. He also won his 15th race of the year in 23. So he ties last year's already with four races to go.
It'd be nice to see someone else win a race in the next four. Yeah, you know, just give us one, Max. Come on. I'm so tired of hearing the Dutch national anthem and the Austrian national anthem. Like, please. I mean,
if Merck actually had their shit together this weekend, we might have seen that.
Well, you know, Max ultimately, though, he definitely had to work for that win. I think that was probably one of the hardest drives he had this season.
Yeah, I can't think of a harder one, actually, and a more contested one.
He was pretty vocal on his radio, too.
Lewis was called him out on it. When Max starts cursing, you know that something's up. There's a chance, you know.
Yeah, there's a chance that something could happen. He was, you know, don't talk to me when I'm under braking. And, you know, I just thought he was a little bit. I mean, you know how I don't even need to say it. I think everybody knows how I feel about Max and when he gets whiny. So,
and Lewis was also a bit whiny on his radio, which also means that it's the other way around. When Lewis gets whiny, that it means they have a chance, actually.
Yeah, because he feels like, we need to stop fucking around and just get to work. And I mean, I had a bunch of friends text me during the race being like, oh, there goes Lewis back to his normal whiny ways. I'm like, do you not hear Max? He's complaining every other corner.
Because I mean, people don't understand F1 and comment on it. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
They just go back and watch the last 10 seasons and then let's talk.
Everybody's got their radio on. But Max wins his 50th. Kind of crazy to think about. I'm really hoping for, and it does look like the other teams are really making progress. I mean, Mercedes this weekend and Lewis's performance had Lewis. I mean, if there were probably two or three more laps, I think Lewis probably could have taken that race.
Yeah, we were all hoping for maybe just even one more lap. Yeah, two more laps would have been great. I think Lewis was, I mean, credit where it's due. Merck gave him a car that he really enjoyed this weekend, and he said the car updates gave him a 10th, and his confidence in the car now gave him like an additional 10th. So he's feeling good in the car, and he didn't put a foot wrong the whole weekend, and he ultimately gets, you know, disqualified from the race for a technical mishap.
We'll get to that in a second.
No fault of his own. I mean, he put no foot wrong the whole weekend. Maybe a lockup early in the race. I kind of watched some extended highlights that saw like where he could have kind of closed that gap down. But ultimately, I think Merck had questionable calls that also didn't make it easy in the end for him to catch Max. But in the end of the day, they could have just given him a better chance at going at it. But also, hey, F1's a tough sport. It's like marginal gain. So
battle he had with Lando was really fun to watch.
And I like that
was great wheel to wheel racing. When the two of them get together when the two of them are going toe to toe in a race, it's super fun to watch. There's a lot of respect between them, and it reminds me of that what was it, Suzuka a few years back? I can't remember which race it was, but Lewis was behind, and maybe it was Austria. Anyway,
Austria,
yeah. And Lewis was behind Lando. He's like, oh man, Lando is such a great driver.
Yeah.
Like, when does Lewis ever do that?
Yeah, a little too much. A little too bro-y. Yeah.
Right, you know, giving each other high fives on the straights.
It's all fun and all, they're all friendly and they get along until they fight for championships.
Yeah, and that's true. Well, who was it? I think it was Coulthard or someone. It might have been David Coulthard who said this weekend, this is the nicest he's ever seen the Formula One paddock between drivers.
Yeah, I think Martin Brundle said that too. For old school drivers, they're like, this is weird.
Why does everyone like each other?
Yeah. Why are you hanging out together off track too? You should hate your teammate. Come on.
Let alone the other drivers. You know, Lewis had a strong weekend, and then obviously we got some pretty tough news to deal with. And guess what? Lewis and Charles both found out that they were disqualified as they were in the podium interviews after the race. They do the interviews for second and third. Mm-hmm. Those like sit down interviews, and both Lewis, there's a great photo of Lewis and Charles just looking absolutely dismayed, sitting there being like, "You guys actually can't sit here anymore because you've been disqualified from the race."
Which, yeah, I saw Lewis posted mood.
Yeah, exactly. And he did the post in collaboration with, like, he and Charles were in collaboration with Charles. So what a weird penalty. Basically comes down to after every race, the FIA randomly inspects a few cars, and the not the barge board, but the plank, which is
the underside of the
car. It's where like sparks will fly up. That's why, you know, when the car is on the straights and downforce pushes a car to the track, the plank was too low. Or was had been basically run down, had been.
Yeah, so there's a leeway that every team has for how much the plank will touch the ground at some points during the race, and there's a certain amount it can go till, and then more than that amount, which I think is a millimeter, which is nothing. I don't even know what that is in imperial.
I mean, that's like 1/8 inch.
Yeah, if it goes more than that, then it's automatic DQ, and you can't even appeal it. It's just, those are the rules. It's just black and white. There is no room for interpretation on that one. So it's a shame. It's not the first time this happened.
I don't know, man. It's a... I'm salty about it. I'm salty about it because it affects my grandstand points. That's really why I'm pissed.
Yes, and I'm totally okay with it because...
Of course you are.
Charles was... It was only a P6 for Charles, and I predicted Lewis in P3 instead. So, but hey, rules are rules, and sometimes there are some that you just can't really contest, and it's just not good for the sport, though. I hate when a race is over and then you have to change the result, but it's never fun.
I think DQ was harsh. I think for both Charles, I think if anything, I don't know if it's a time penalty, if it's a fine for the teams, not $1 million fine.
But actually, at this point, $1 million fine would have been better than DQ.
It would have been, honestly. In a DQ to me just feels like it's not the driver's fault, ultimately. Like, it comes down to the team. So the team should be fined for not following the regulations. A DQ to me, like, how much does that truly affect a car? I mean, it's a millimeter. I know millimeters matter in Formula One. I mean, we're talking about tenths, hundreds of tenths, millimeters. I just, to be DQ'd, man, I don't know. Interestingly enough, Toto was like, the rules are the rules, and we can't, you know, we just got to take it on the chin and figure out how it happened. You know, obviously there was a sprint race. You get the sprint shootout, sprint race, qualifying race. So, I mean, the car takes a heavy beating during a weekend like this.
The bumpy nature of the track doesn't help with that. No. Obviously, the plank will get more damaged. And once Saturday starts, qualifying and then sprint, the car, you can't change the cars anymore. That's why Aston Martin and Haas started from the pit lane, because they made changes to their aero packages. And when you do that, you're not allowed to go back to your grid spot, right? So you start from the back.
Go ahead.
Oh yeah, just to wrap up on that. So the plank went through all those sessions, which is way more than a usual Grand Prix weekend, and it's a bumpy track. So yeah, hence more. And it wasn't random. They look at cars that they...
The rules state it's supposed to be random.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's like TSA and checking, you know, saying, oh, well...
Oh yeah, don't get me started on random checks for TSA, because I've gotten about 100 over my lifetime. Sorry, I don't think it's that random, bro.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm trying to tell you. This was, it's supposed to be.
Okay, I think you're right. It's supposed to be random. And sometimes they can, if they can see that a car, you know, visually they can see sometimes, but so though it was random for Lewis and Charles for this one.
It was supposed okay. to be, but it,
oh shit, tough luck. They should have picked Russell on that.
I mean,
he was nowhere.
I mean, here's my thing too, is like the FIA said afterwards, they're like, it's very difficult for us to scrutinize all 20 cars. So we have to pick them at random to just check and see. I'm like, it makes no, I guarantee you then other cars had that issue. So if it's just, it feels
possible.
Like, it does feel like if you're applying, and this is motorsport.com was talking about this. There is a, you know, the FIA is constantly playing games with teams and the rules and the way that they interpret them. But we all know how I feel. I think the two of us generally feel that the FIA gets involved, like you just said, a DNF after the fact, after we've seen the podium celebration, we've seen the interviews, you know, a time penalty, a fine to the team, but a DNF just feels,
yeah,
feels wrong, man. Yeah. Or I'm sorry, not
it's
a,
harsh.
A DQ, not yeah. a DNF, a DQ.
It's harsh. I agree with you. It is really harsh. And these, like, I think this is like one of those things that it's happened before in the past, and it's very rare. When it does happen, it always leaves a bad taste. You know, it's like, oh, all the podium ceremonies happened. We saw Lewis on the podium with the champagne. All the photos will go down in history, and he will not get that podium. And of course, who inherits a podium in P3 is Carlos Sainz, who had like a run of just like inheriting podiums at the beginning.
His first podium, he inherited it in Brazil. So
yeah, it's got to be Sainz.
It's got to be Sainz. But anyway, I don't agree with it. I think it's a harsh penalty. I think
me neither. I agree with you.
It needs to be relooked at. And the
here's the thing, man. Here's the thing. If it's random, right? What if Sainz's plank, who's also has the same car as Leclerc, you know, a similar setup, his car could have been illegal too, but it's too late to check it.
Yeah, exactly. But
so FIA, yeah, figure some shit out.
Yeah, please. And the can of worms that it opens too is if you're going to scrutinize cars at random, it just feels like you're letting other teams skate. It doesn't seem justified or fair. I'm also just salty because it completely fucked my Grandstand Championship points, which I was very excited about. You even texted me and you're like, you were like, oh, you're going to clean up. And I was like, oh, anyway. But going to Charles, I felt like Ferrari decided to go, and we can, you know, chat real quick about this, but I felt like Ferrari didn't get the right strategy call with the one stop, which in the end kind of fucked Charles's race, and he was pretty upset about that.
Ferrari did a Ferrari in the worst way again. They went for the one stop, and when it was too late, they asked Leclerc, oh, should we change? He's like, the fuck, can't change now. Then I'll just be on a worse strategy. Didn't work. And he started on pole. Let's not forget, he got pole position,
right?
And he has a record, which is not a good record to have, is that it's his 10th start from pole position in a row that he doesn't convert into a win. Did not start in Monaco, this one here, and also so many last year against Max. It's just like, give him a good car and he'll handle it. The strategy didn't help him. And when you look at what happened to Carlos, his strategy was perfectly executed and he did the job, right? And they didn't have the pace, I think, to hang with the Mercs, the McLarens and Red Bull, but it was tight up there. I kept following the gaps, and the top 5-6 were within 10 to 12 seconds towards the end of the race. It was pretty crazy. Like, they looked like they were further back, but they were right there to pick up some scraps, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, missed opportunity.
Missed opportunity for sure. And in the end, it didn't matter because of the DNA or the DQ, but you know, who the DQ also benefited was Lando Norris, who I thought had another great weekend overall.
Amazing weekend. I love his start where he just took the lead, and I thought he was going to run with it.
I thought so too.
I was kind of worried he destroyed his tires because he had like a 2-second advantage in the first lap. I was like, damn, Lando, that was big dick energy right there.
It really was. You know, and I was a little bummed. I was a bit frustrated on lap 28 when he was battling Max, and it felt like, I mean, Max clearly had the momentum, but it felt like Lando didn't defend as hard as he could have.
Yeah, so on the group chat, our boy Remy, who's a fellow Mercedes fans, he's always surprised that Lando doesn't defend against Max. And I got to say, I agree with him. He always kind of lets him by.
It makes no sense.
Is it because Max has a dominant car, so it's always like, hey, I'm not even fighting him, let him go? But he defended really well against Lewis, which was really tight. And it could have ended if both drivers, you know, weren't such good racers. Wheels to wheel. It could have ended badly. Yeah. But against Max, he just let him go. Disappointing.
Yeah.
I want to see Lando elbows out.
He really, like, I mean, I don't know exactly the turn, but there was a specific moment kind of on the back, the back, like, I think it was in sector two or going into sector three, and he just kind of let Max by, and which is rare for Lando, you know. And then afterwards he's talking about, he's like, you know, Verstappen track limits, kind of like calling him out on it. And I'm like, what are you just going to like try to get him like a time penalty because of track limits now? Is that the idea here? Because
I hate it too. No.
And, you know, I think he probably realizes the McLaren and the Mercedes are more on par than the McLaren and the Red Bull. But at the same time, it's like, it just felt a bit, I hate to say this, but it kind of like he put his tail between his legs and was like, fine, Max can just take this, 'cause he's going to get it anyway. It's like,
yeah, I mean, like, it's totally what he did. Work. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, come on.
He's already won 14 races. Don't just give him 15.
Do it for the fans, yeah, man. Come on. Put up a fight. At least give us, you know, some hope that it's hard for him out there.
But, you know, I will say McLaren just continues to impress me. This, you know, obviously the Piastri retirement was tough for them to swallow. But McLaren, man, I think both McLaren and Mercedes have to be really encouraged by where their car's at right now.
Yeah. Well, McLaren is officially in P4 in the constructors. I think it's going to be tough to get Ferrari. The last four races could be really good. I think Red Bull has clearly stopped developing since they got both titles and everything's geared towards next year. And Mercedes and McLaren and obviously Ferrari as well, they're still pushing because whatever they do now is going to be useful for them next year. So we're going to see them converge. And I have to hope, I think we could see a non-Max Verstappen win by the end of the year.
Okay. I hope so too. I mean, I think...
Didn't convince you there. Yeah, sure. Okay.
Yeah, whatever. I think... I mean, I want to see that. Don't say that. Don't get me wrong. Like, that's definitely... I would really, really like that to happen. I mean, we're going into Mexico. We could see Checo do something. And I'll speak Checo to that when we get to our predictions. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see what happens in Las Vegas with the Mercedes and McLaren. I think that could be a really interesting weekend with a new track where everybody's trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. But cold as fuck. It's gonna be nighttime.
Two quick things though, before we get to our predictions. Pierre Gasly, I thought, had a pretty had a solid weekend. And, you know, Ocon with the DNF. But what, like, dude, and this is maybe more of a rhetorical question, but who is Alpine? Like, like, honestly, who is this team? What do they want to be?
I don't know, man. When you look at the standings, they're in a weird kind of, they're just on their own there in P6. Clearly way ahead of Williams, Alfa Romeo and Haas, Alfa Tauri as well, but also really far from the top five teams. It's hard because off track, we saw this weekend, they got huge new investors, right?
Yeah, I mean, Anthony Joshua's on the team now, yep.
Some big golfer. Shit, I forget. I should have prepared this. but some big names. There were some big names, and they're clearly building something for the future. But this year, this car is definitely not meeting the objective of fighting for P3.
Definitely not. I think they just need to, they're also hoping for the season just to end so they can get to next year.
Oh yeah.
Another quick thing too. We saw, you know, one of our favorite drivers in Formula One, Daniel Ricciardo, return to seat at AlphaTauri. And I don't know if it's the hand. I don't know what's going on, but he did not have a good weekend. Eesh.
Yeah, so P11 in the sprint. He apologized. He said another P11. And then in the race, so I did hear that they might have been damaged because of some debris he picked up. It's hard to see how well he did, because if he did have damage and carried it the whole race, then he was off pace and different strategy. He was on a one-stop. compared to his teammate who was on a two-stop, but Yuki was clearly faster than him this weekend. Yuki even had enough time in hand to pit for fastest lap, and with the penalties, Yuki ended up picking up a few points this weekend, so that was really good for AlphaTauri. But yeah, DR3, I'm giving him a break because I think there was some damage there. Not going to judge him for that return. Maybe also some nerves coming back racing. It's been a while. You want to make sure you stay clean. I get it. Let's see. He'll do better in Mexico. I think he should do well.
I think he'll have a stronger return in Mexico, or stronger race weekend in Mexico. But we have the Mexican Grand Prix this weekend. Always the Mexican Grand Prix is always fun. It's always a great time.
I mean, mezcal, some sun, some tacos. But hey, before we get to that, may I just point out two things?
Sure.
I want to give, because we give Lance Stroll a lot of shit. He pulled quite a good sprint race and race with some really good moves. Actually had a move on Alonso and scored some points. And because of the DQs, Williams had a double points finish, and Logan Sargeant scored his first ever Formula One points at home in Austin with P10.
That's a good shout out. Yeah. He had a good weekend, actually.
Pretty decent. He finished, you know, not too far behind Alex. I think it's good he finally gets those points. And hey, Vegas is coming up, so let's hopefully he can score again.
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
Let's get back to tacos. Yeah.
Let's get back to Mexican Grand Prix. Mexico. Yeah, it's not the Taco Grand Prix, dude. Jesus.
Hey, it is for me, man.
But I think, you know, going into this weekend, Checo's got a lot of chat about what's going to happen with him. I think his seat's secure, but I think he always seems to do very well in Mexico. It would be great for him to get a podium. And we'll see you'll see with my predictions where I'm going to go with that. But
Okay. I thought you were about to give your predictions. Like, ooh,
no,
I get a freebie.
No. You don't get a freebie.
To go
you
first.
Go first. don't.
As we explained, you got screwed big time last time. So we're at 329 to your 309, mm-hmm. which it's still not a big gap, by the way. So yeah, you know,
it's still a bigger gap than I would have had. It was it's 20 points versus 7 points. So. You know,
for sure. It still hurts. I get it. Going first this weekend, I think that Max still has a bit of the edge. Actually, scratch that. I'm going to take a risk. I'm going for just a quick 180 here. Wow. I'm going for Lewis on pole. And I'm saying Max wins, Lewis second, Perez podium, Russell P4, and P5, I'm going to give it to Leclerc. And with the Gromo, going to Stroll, because two good weekends in a row. I don't know if he has that.
Oh my god! Damn, build the guy up just to bring him back down. Man, it's harsh. I think I'm gonna go Max pole.
Ooh, this is when it gets interesting.
Yeah,
here.
Max is gonna win the race. I think I'm gonna cover with Lewis P2. I think Lewis is gonna be pissed this weekend about that DQ and is going to come back and race pretty hard. I'm going to go Checo P3. I think Checo gets a podium. I'm going to go with Lando P4. And the smooth operator P5.
Ooh, no Russell.
No. And for the Gromo, I'm going to go with Yuki Tsunoda.
So yeah, we're putting two drivers that had a pretty decent race. Yeah. We're gonna throw them
under the bus. That's what you do. Yeah, it's just, you know, guys who don't have the same consistency as the top, you gotta look to that. But we've also not scored a single Gromo this season.
Yeah, which would be nice if one of us.
But there actually haven't been a lot of Gromos this season. Mm. There have been a lot of Gromos since Roman Grosjean left Formula One. Quite frankly.
We kind of miss him for that.
Yeah, exactly. damn it. We could have a lot of Gromos.
Well, hey, you never know. It can happen when you least expect it to. Yeah, so yeah, exactly. It's what I love about the sport.
Exactly. But let's go racing in Mexico this weekend. If you're not already, be sure to follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere that podcasts are available, and on social media at the Grandstand F1 for P Money. I'm F. Knowles. We'll see you post-Mexico.